the view on great structure, but it's one that is very similar to things that you're familiar with. So, my thoughts are our brain, and commutative, right? You can do it in non-commutative also. That's that. We have some commutative, so it makes our life easier. I'll say a few things about the non-commutative case. Then, and so, an R module is a set or it's a beta group M together with a map to an action of R, an R action, on M. So I'm going to have, so we have a map from R cross M to M that sends an R and M to R M, such that let me put the properties here. Okay, so there's a lot of things already implicit in the abelian group and R action, right? So let me make explicit. So abelian group. So first of all, I added the abelian group. I want to list them here because then I'll remember the ones that were. So a bit of group means that if we're given M1 and given M and M and N, you have M plus N, so you can add them, and the operation is commutative, associative, has a zero, and every element has an inverse, etc. R action means that RS, I guess, M, so to act with RS, this is going to be, oh, it's not an RS. Oh, but R is with a map. Oh, it's an action of the multiplicative monoid, but maybe I shouldn't, maybe I put off, so set that. R, so it has to be, I guess it's enough, let me put all the actions here. What else do I want? I want R, F, M, E, R, F, M. So I'm trying to call it an R action, but it's an action of a monoid, so maybe I don't have to worry about that. What else do I need? It's an abelian group, and you also can multiply by element of R, so it's scalar multiplication. So you've seen this before. So maybe you can tell me that I'm missing anything. You've seen this before with a different name, in a slightly less general. It's R is a field, an R module is the same as an R vector space. It's just a different name for the same thing. So So vector spaces of the Abelian group, you can add vector, then you can then do scalar multiplication, and the scalar multiplication has to be linear, distributive, and yeah, so so I guess that's the definition of a model. And this is just a sense check, see if I haven't missed anything. Now modules can be the same as a vector space. So you've seen this before. So if the ring is non-commutative, then this is what's called the left R module. Okay, and then there's a corresponding notion of right R module, which is something with the time right, and then I think that the main difference would be that, you know, you have to be careful with that. The R are here, and there is a notion of the phi module, which is left and not left, right module. You're dealing with non-commutative things get. Okay, so I want to give some examples which are important. So here's the case of a field. You get tending as vector spaces, which is what you're used to. Another example is when R is Z. So that's a very interesting example because it's kind of surprising what the Z module. Because you think you'd be learning something new, and then you discover that something you're already seen, and the module starts to kind of disappear. So, the Z module is the same as an Abelian group. Why is that? Well, first of all, in our module, you start with an Abelian group. So in our module, already comes with an Abelian group, plus this action of R, scalar multiplication. So what happens is when you have a Z module, the scalar multiplication comes for free because, and unfortunately I'm using the notation Rm, so if M is in M and R is in Z, this is M, well, what is it? So first of all, I have to go two ways, right? I have to go... Well, if I have, let's start with the modules first. So, if you have a module, you get an Abelian group. Just forget the scalar multiplication. Then if you have an Abelian group, you can define a module structure by just doing what you usually do. So how do you multiply an element in an Abelian group by a positive integer? You just add the element to itself and times. So it's R times, n plus n plus n, R times. If R is bigger than 0, if 0 if R is 0, is minus R, and so if you have a bigger group, this gives you a Z module structure. So if you have a bigger group, you know how to multiply by scalars, if the scalars are integers. You just add things to show. And conversely, if you have a Z module, because of this action here, the Z module structure that you're imposing is the same as the harmonic one that comes for free. So every beta group has a free Z module structure. And if you put a Z module structure on the beta group, it has to be the free one. Because of this. fact, if you apply it to business, if you apply an R and F equals 1 again, it's 2M is M plus M, and then you apply them 2 and 1 again, it's 3M is M plus M. So you can prove by induction, you do this test. If you have an R mod, a Z module structure on an abelian group, it has to be the one that comes up with. So this is fine. I'm going to give it a natural one. And conversely, a Z module. Has only the natural structure. So there's only one structure that you can, only one Z module structure that you can put on a beam. Another way of make this clear in a different way, or more complicated in a different way, is that if M is a R module, then the map, you define a map C from R to the homomorphism ring of M. So remember, every abelian group has, so this is the homomorphism of M as an abelian group. So it's a map from M to M that are group homomorphic. And we showed how this can be viewed as a ring. Right? That the addition is an additional function and we'll look at this composition. So this is a ring. So what is the map? The map is the map on R to the function f r of m, let's call the function f r, where f r of m is just r m. For all m. So scalar multiplication is a group homomorphism because of this. Number this 1, 2, 3, and so what I have here is using 2, and here I use 1. So R belongs to NM plus 1. Of the ring, you get an endomorphism, which is just scalar multiplication by the element of that ring. Okay? And so you have a map from the ring to the endomorphism of M as an abelian group. Okay. a ring homomorphic.
Capital T is a ring homomorphic.
Why is that? Because C R plus F, C of R plus F is F R plus F. So what's F R plus F? Well, it's R plus F times M, which is going to be R M plus F M, which is property 2. So this is C R F R plus F S by 2. We can check that. And CRF is FROFX, right? Supply FROFX by 3.
That's
not FROFX. Huh? FROFX equation. This, FROFX is FROFX. And a homomorphism from R to the homomorphism of M, you can define. So So PR is an element, and then we can apply to any element of the ring of the abelian group. You get PR of M, and you get an harmonic. And it should be easy to check, right? This property one is the fact that CR is a endomorphism. This property two is that the map C preserves addition in R, for molecular intent. Property three is that the map C preserves multiplication. And property four is that the map C sends that into the so. And now, you know, if you like this description of modules in terms of endomorphisms, you'll understand why this happens, that every abelian group is a tree module, because every ring has a, for every ring there's a map from the integers to the ring, right? Every ring has a 1, so you just map 1 to 1, 2 to 1 plus 1, 3 to 1 plus 1 plus 1. And then you get a map from Z to a ring. So for any, you know, and so for any Z in a group, you have a map from Z to endomorphism of M. So you just get the Z module. There's a map from Z to the endomorphism of M to be, can only be that one. Right? Once you know where 1 goes, you know where 2 goes. So, you get the explanation for the fact that. Maybe a subvention is called, you have a homomorphism, you have a kernel, right? It's fine. So the kernel of P, as a name, is called the annihilator of M, as a non-module, so it's going to be presented, you put it like this, which is a set of R in R, such that Rm is equal to 0 for all M in M. And this should become, it's going to come up later, so I'm not going to have any use for it right now, but of course if you see how long it is, you want to know what the kernel is. Well, then you hear it. See all the interesting examples. Yeah, so if you have a ring R, you can make R to the N. Right? So this is R cross R cross R. And times, you know, we've seen that as a group, right? So every time you have an abelian group, you can take a copy of the group itself and times, and you get an abelian group. And you can define, so it's a non-module. The same way you make vector spaces, you know, n-dimensional vector spaces out of fields, right? R times R1, Rn, R1, R1. Alright. Scalar multiplication is the usual way, usually in our model structures, you know, it's not surprising there.
the word I, the more the word self. This is also the most of the Bibles.
So Adam is a sub-module, which is R, and an R-module. If N is a subgroup, and Rn and N are all R,
right, so to the subgroup, it has the properties pertaining only to addition, and the properties with respect to multiplication are all satisfied as long as you have that acting with an element of group. The scale of multiplication is also fine, so every time you have an element of M multiplied by R, it stays solid. Right, because with the morphisms, what does that mean? You have N inside of M, then every endomorphism works. The endomorphism of N
should be invariant under the...
So it's not all the endomorphisms. What I'm worried about is that not every endomorphism... Does every endomorphism then extend to M? But that's not necessarily true. Suppose if it's a submodule, then... So if you have N inside of M, you have an endomorphism of M, and you have an endomorphism of M. And here you have the S in endomorphism of N, such that F of N is an S. Okay. Now this is not related to that necessarily, because if you give endomorphism of N, you don't necessarily get them in the ones of the whole thing. So there is no math going this way. And this guy, so if you have a map like this, then you can map this map to this. Right? So if you have an homomorphism of M that's restricted to N, so you need to get an homomorphism of M. Just say F restricted to N, so the F goes to F restricted to N. That's okay. Now, if this is a non-module, it means that there is a T going here. And if this is a non-module, then it has to be a T going here. Yes?
Does it mean that N can admit a non-module structure that does not come from N?
Yeah. It means that if you have enough... Yeah, if you have an analogous structure on M, you get a map from here to here, and then that definition says, well, then you could talk about being submodules. So the submodule implies that you're using the structure coming from here to define
it. But you can have another...
You can have a subgroup of M that has some R-module structure, which has nothing to do with our R-module structure in M, but then N wouldn't be a submodule. You wouldn't call it a submodule.
So for n to be a submodule, this map, so I guess call this map row. So n is a submodule, an R submodule. And if yes, the C of n is equal to which way does it go? C, you take an element here, back to here, and then so.
That's the right thing. But this is ugly, not.
So from the anamorphism point of view, that's how you find the point. Be able to do this. Because row is only defined on the subset. So that's a good point. So the definition of row only makes sense in the subgroup of subring of binomorphism. So to actually even write down this equation, you have to have the image of PM to be inside of the subring. So I have to, for this to be a submodule, I need both these conditions. That PM of R is a subring of this subring, and that's the equation of the map. This thing with the anamorphism. Can get tricky. So speaking of submodules, what is a submodule of R? What is an R submodule? So R is an R module, right? Just one-dimensional vector space. What's an R submodule of R? Well, if you go to this by the vector space analogy, a subspace of one-dimensional space is just zero over the space. But you have to be careful, because that's not going to be true. So what is an R submodule of R? It's a subgroup that has a property that every time you take an element in the subgroup, you multiply by an arbitrary element in the ring, you stay in the subgroup. You've seen this before. An R submodule of R is an ideal of R. Is an abelian subgroup of the additive group of the ring, so that it can that is preserved by multiplication. So that is exactly what an R module of R is. And now things become kind of interesting because there are ideals that are not principled in some ranks, most ranks, and therefore these ideals are somewhat in the line with the multi-dimorphic law. So here's a... So, I, in R. So here's a little lemma here. I don't have to write down what I mean by two modules being isomorphic to each other. It's sort of obvious thing. But what the module of homomorphism and so on is all clear what it's supposed to be. So, proposition, so that I can now be an ideal, then I is isomorphic to R as an R module. If along is I is a principal. Then it's easy, right? If you define F from R to I, that sends R to R by definition, this map is whole. This map is not injective, it's only injective if R is a domain. Let R be a domain. Yeah, there is a condition on this proposition. Then by definition it's projective. It's injective because of the domain, so F is projective by definition. We call it zero. F is injective since R is a domain. Non-zero. Yeah, the zero ideal is not, it's principal, but it's not as a multiple line. So, yeah. They have to be non-zero. Right? Right. And A is non-zero. So improve it, then you find out what the conditions are for this report. Okay, and so projective is injective, so projective is a module isomorphism, right? And is a module. That is a module. So it's a module homomorphism, in that sense. It has to be an abelian group homomorphism that preserves the M itself. Remember, linear maps. An algebraic homomorphism should be the same thing as the linear map of vector system. So it's F is from M to M. The harmonic homomorphism is this and so this clearly has this property, right? Okay. So that's the easy direction. The other direction is that if I is isomorphic to R,
Yes.
How does the injectivity work?
So if RA is zero, so remember, to show that it's injective, all you have to show is that the kernel is zero. You're in the domain. So that implies that R is zero, or A is zero. When A speaks to non-zero, because I'm taking I to be the non-zero I. The heck black, this is my process, this is my process. After I wrote the process, this is here.
I thought that A started from the beginning group that it has nothing to do with the first.
A is an element of R. So I'm proving the fact that if I is principal, then it's a domain. So this is MP, so... Okay, this will be good. Let me do the other implication that is left off. So suppose that you have a map from R to I, which is an R module isomorphism. Actually, it's actually easy. So let A equal F of 1. And I claim that then for all X and I, there exists an I in R, F of R is X, right? Because that F is assumed to be surjective. So, X is equal to F of R, which is equal to F of R times 1. I is an R module isomorphism, so this is R F of 1. So every element in I, so I is contained in it. And conversely, given X equals RA in A, we have X equals F of R. Set up away. Right. So F of R F. So X is RA. RA, which is R F of 1. In all detail, that's the proof that if you have an R module isomorphism from R to I, you get I, your principal I, generating an image. So that's kind of different from the vector. That's the way where the theory of modules and vector space is different. So at the beginning, the first difference is that the submodules of the one-dimensional module are not necessarily one-dimensional. They're not isomorphic. So there are, even inside of R, submodules that are. But then you say, well, for PIDs, every idea is principal. So for PIDs, you seem to be in a shift situation similar to that of the vector space. And yes, so we'll see that. Okay, I think that's going to be sort of the theorem that we'll be aiming towards in the next couple of weeks. is a classification of finitely generated modules of the GX, so I'm trying to find generated modules of the GX. And so the result we're going to get is the precise classification of all the finitely generated modules over the GX. And as a consequence, we're going to get the classification of finitely generated abelian groups, because abelian groups are G modules and G is a PID. That's going to come out for free, and in particular we're going to get classification of finite abelian groups. Which, by the way, so finite abelian groups are G modules, right? So that's another difference. So you also have some addition mentioned here, but you get constant modules, right? If n is a submodule of m, then m over n is a module. An R is a module. So that's the quotient of the abelian groups. So all you have to do is define the scalar multiplication under, so x plus n r equals r. So I need it as an exercise so you can prove that this gives you a module structure in the quotient. So that's the definition. So you define the left hand side, it be the right hand side, you have to show that it's well defined, it's the usual. Okay, and in particular, if you have an ideal, the quotient ring is an R module. Okay, that's the definition of the multiplication of the quotient. So R by I is all. So maybe there's another difference with vector spaces, but fields don't have ideals, so you don't see any quotient. But if you look at so G mod n, these are G mod, and Hertzsprung has one on for fields. And so what we're going to see is that, you know, when we talk about modules of CID, is that basically, you know, those guys plus direct sums of those guys are going to be the only finitely generated modules. I'll state the precisely for that step. Well, for PIDs, I'm showing you sort of all the ways of getting a few finitely generated. One more thing. We sort of tied up with this. You know, that more generally if f from R to F is a Lindholm margin, then F is an R module. So every time you have an ideal, the quotient ring has a canonical map, right? There's a natural map from R to R by I. But more generally, if you have something like that, you can define an R module structure on F. And I guess so how do you define it? You define, so this is already in the abelian group, you're going to have to define what you mean by RF, and I guess this is F of R.
Okay, so this is the multiplication in here, and this is undefined in the reaction line. And in terms of the endomorphism, so we have endomorphism of S. Ah, yeah, so the S, S is injected as endomorphism. So the actual S on itself is a dynamorphism. So this is seeing S as a module over itself. Right? So there's an F on S and an S on S. But S is always a module over itself. And I'm giving you that, so I get an F on S and an S on S. Math garden by doing S at the moment over itself. From this point of view, it's very clear why if you have a big homomorphism, then S becomes an homomorphism. You can also use that. But then he did already have a proof. Because all I need to give you is a Levinian group and a map from the ring to the endomorphism of the Levinian group. And this is the ring homomorphism because of the composition of the ring homomorphism. Yes. From this point of view, so sometimes the point of view of endomorphism is good because all I need to give you quick proofs like this. So this group stands. You can always also prove it this way, writing it down that way. Checking all the properties, but that's what's intended to do. Okay, I'm going to stop here. There's one more example that I want to do. To go through the detail, but I'll do it. So, the homework, the